speak a little bit about it, and then I would like to guide you in an exercise which will help you perhaps to go to the next level in singing the holy name, an exercise that helps you to access the heart of Kirtan, to contact it, to touch it, to become hopefully charged by it. And then after this I thought I will invite I call her always the lioness of Kirtan, Achyuta Gopi, and perhaps you remember me? Yes, here, which is large and impressive, so to do one Kirtan also. This is a little bit a problem which I have in mind for all of us this evening. But first of all, let me really express my profound how to express it best, my admiration or my great appreciation, that's the word, of being here in New York. When I think of New York, I really think of two things: opportunity, because it's a melting pan of so many different ideas, and it seems when you walk over the street of New York, it seems everything is possible as you look at the people and their expression and so on. But I also think of New York as a wave. You need to know how to ride a wave, otherwise the wave will overwhelm you and do you in. So in a town like New York, where there's so much, let us say, condensed humanity, and there is a lot of opportunity, there's energy in the air, there is willingness to explore new things, but there it can also be overwhelming, and you need to know how to ride this wave. And therefore, I believe a program like this one, where we can come to that place where we are already perfect, the place where we are in contact with the Lord, with Krishna, is so important, because it is in this sacred place which is opened by Kirtan, where we are recharged. It's like a spark when it comes into a fire, takes on the qualities of the fire and is energetic and brilliant and dances even. In the same way, the soul, when it meets Krishna in the Krishna Kirtan, feels energized and inspired, and perhaps also wants to dance. Having said this much, you must know, when we speak of bhakti, there are actually two forms in bhakti. Bhakti, therefore, can be compared with the chickpea, which has two halves that come together in one being, a chickpea being. The two parts of bhakti are the effort, the activities which you do in devotional service, and then the second is the heart, or the bhava of this, the devotional feelings. Bhakti therefore has been very nicely translated in two words by my spiritual master, not just as love or devotion, or one word, but as devotional, that refers to an inner mood, a devotion-filled thing, and then service, that refers to what you do with your hands, with your mind, and so on. Bhakti has always these two things. What you do, like singing, that is what we will do today, or you could also also hear shastras, or you could go on a pilgrimage, hear shastras, what does this mean? You can read sacred scriptures, you can go on a pilgrimage, because you can engage in wonderful worship, like you have seen here. These are the activities of bhakti, or the external, extrinsic manifestations of bhakti, which help that your consciousness gets uncovered and fertilized. And then also comes the heart of all of this, the devotion in it, the love, the gratitude, the sincerity of trying to approach the Lord. Both is important, like the body is important if you want to do something, but the heart, the soul, the feelings are important, so that that it's not just an activity which you do, something external to you, but it is rooted in the word of the spirit, gratitude, devotion, perhaps even the beginning stages of something like that is more than joy, we call it bliss or divine ecstasy and so on. Both is important. Both is important. I remember many years ago, I was on a personal retreat in Vrindavan and had found a very nice place in Apsarakundan. A nice place is a place that is safe for monkeys in Vrindavan. Monkeys are monkeys there, like anything. So I had found a place and I had been chanting from that place. It was a little hidden, and I had seen the pilgrims coming to the lake, some of them bathing, all of them were taking the water, sprinkled it over themselves. I'd seen a family from London, I remember, and I had a hiding place, so they didn't see me. And the whole family just discussed whether or not they should take a bath in this lake, which was partly covered with algae. I still remember this. And then finally the younger son gave the verdict, yes, in London we wouldn't go into an algae-covered lake, but here in Vrindavan, this lake is spiritual, so therefore let us not look at the algae. And they all came into the lake, and when they came out, they were all covered with green. And then I decided to come out of my hiding place, and I greeted them and I said, "You have made the right decision. You have overcome your cultural reservations, your inner blockages, and you have taken a bath in a holy lake, and your gain is much more better than clean cloth or whatever. Your gain is a lot of sukriti or spiritual benefits." And I talked a little on it. During this time, I met an old friend of mine who is also a good friend of many devotees. I remember His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj was often inviting him to speak at his Vrindavan Yatras. I met Syam Das. He is a person from New York who had taken shelter in India on the path of bhakti. He was associated with another bhakti lineage than that of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, but had the highest than our own, so to say. And whenever we discussed, it was very nice because we could bring in the treasures of our Sampradaya. And so he asked me, "And what are you doing here?" And I said, I'm chanting. He said, "May I know since when you started?" Yes, I said, it was, I could still see the morning stars. It was in the morning, and I chanted up till I met the London family, and then you. And then he said, "What, so long you're chanting?" "Yeah, I'm trying," I said. And then he was silent for a long time. He looked at me and said, he's from New York, so he expressed it. It's in the New York way. "Man, you don't know what you got. You do not know what you have obtained in your life." I said, "Please tell your perspective." And he then said, "I can see in your movement, Kostumaji, I cannot believe my eyes. Is it a ghost of you or the real Kostuma?" He says, "I don't know." "No, it's a real thing. You have Sambandha." And then we discussed. Sambandha means an inner orientation where you know that you are the eternal soul, and you connect with everything which you do in service to Krishna. And when you are doing something in Sambandha, in this awareness, "I'm only yours, I'm a part of you, I belong to you, please accept me." When you have this orientation, where you don't just do any activity like singing or doing your japa meditation, but where you have the heart there, the inner mood that I'm part of you, I belong to you. I have been truly absent in our relationship, but now at this opportune moment, I want to connect with you, I want to pray to you, I want to please you. Then a divine connection becomes established, and then the real mystery of bhakti takes place. It is that the divine reciprocation, something that comes from a level that is far beyond our minds, our intelligence, something that comes from the kingdom of God. And at that time, when the soul is active and there's a divine reciprocation, it's as if two electric wires meet, and there's connection, and there is the spiritual energy that flows. You have Sambandha, you have the knowledge how to make this divine connection happen. My dear devotees, do you sometimes, on friends, do you sometimes want to change your life, become perhaps a better version of yourself, stop committing the same mistakes? Do you sometimes want to be victorious over your own, dare I say it, lethargy and your own illusions? Of course. What is it that stops you to do this? It's Maya Sambandha. It's your bondage to the world of illusion. When you are able to overcome the various obstacles, and you are able to live your spiritual desires, then you have Krishna Sambandha. Then it's because of Krishna Sambandha. There are two chains. One is the chain to illusion, the other is the chain to Krishna. And when we chant, we have to leave this world of illusion, the world of Maya, the world of our own mental fork, so to say, and we have to enter into the divine relationship with Krishna and become ablaze, become surcharged in devotional service. Whenever Krishna cease just a little desire of the living entity, of the living being, to enter this divine relationship, then he responds. There's a very famous verse, and I will read it to you so that that you see the beauty of the language, but the beauty of the concept. Here, Lord Ramachandra says, "It is my vow." Wow, he has made a vow. This gets interesting. That God who made a vow. No? "It is my vow." Or what is that vow? "That if one only once sincerely surrenders unto me, saying, 'My dear Lord, from this day I am yours,' and prays to me for courage, then I shall immediately award courage to that person, and he will always remain safe from that time on." Let us translate that into kirtan. When you are able to move towards the essence of what is kirtan, you will do, while you sing, while you clap your hands, while the sweat comes onto your forehead or your brow, while all these visible things go on, you will pray, "Please accept me." Those of you who are older devotees, they will enter into the various meditations which are left to us by the acharyas, like "Please purify my heart and show me your sweetness," etc. There are many meditations. And as you do this, as you do the chitti bhakti, in other words, the activity, and you keep the mood alive, there is a divine reciprocation. I'm thinking of another text which... Yes, here. Krishna, there are many scriptures, and one scripture is very, very... it's really fascinating to read it, like, how can I say Bhagavatam, and all the others are equally fascinating. But it is very, you feel you are witness to an intimate dialogue between Krishna and Arjuna. It's almost a continuation of the dialogue that takes place in the Bhagavad Gita, but the only difference is that Arjuna really wants to now know what is surrender to Krishna in action and what is devotion in reality. And there is a very well-known verse where Krishna tells Arjuna how much he likes to see people chant kirtan. He says, "O Arjuna, now listen very attentively." It seems to be important. When someone says to you, now you know you've spoken, but now listen very attentively. "When the living entity chants my name, whether out of devotion or indifference, then his name will remain forever in my heart. I will never forget such a soul." So whenever Krishna sees someone doing kirtan, trying to do kirtan, even if he is sometimes adrift, Krishna makes a list, and in this list is the name of the chanter. Once Hanuman, it is said, heard that Lord Rama had a favorite book, and he then came to Lord Rama and said to him, "What is your favorite book?" And Rama said, "It's the book where the names of my devotees are in there." So Hanuman was curious. "Is my name also in there?" So the Lord gave him the book. And Hanuman went through the book, but he couldn't find his name. The world knows Hanuman is the greatest bhakta of Ram, no? But his name was not in that book. Was there something wrong with this book? Or maybe had someone torn a page out of the book? Lord Rama said, why are you sad, Hanuman? Hanuman said, I'm not sad. Hanuman, why are you sad? My name is not in the book. Oh, said Rama, I keep another book. I have a second book. In this book are those devotees who are super special dear to me because they changed my name. Would you like to see it? I was a little bit shy, but perhaps his book, his name would also not be in the second book. But he then saw the book, and there was Hanuman on all pages. So this is what the Lord says in this Purana also. I keep a list of those who chant. However, there is another verse in the Adi Purana, and there Krishna again says, Arjuna, now listen very carefully what is in my heart. Then he goes and says, those who chant my names sitting before my deities or in any other ways and weep for me, I become so grateful to them that I can never leave them. In fact, I become sold to them. I become the property of these people. So yes, you can chant. You can attentively chant. And Krishna might put you in this list of the people that Yaksha is chanting. But if you chant with devotion in your heart, with your gratitude in the heart, then, my dear everyone, Krishna puts you in this special book where he keeps the special people who, where he always likes to be around. So I would like to guide you now, enough theory, into an exercise. This is an exercise which everyone can do. Even someone who is not so familiar with the teachings of bhakti, who is just stumbling over this on the internet and somehow scan the internet further, but got stuck with us. It is an exercise where you combine the outward activity of bhakti, that is the activity in this way, in this case singing his holy names, the Hare Krishna mantra, with the inner mood, you could call it the beginning of devotion. And you can address this type of kirtana. I always like to make this very clear. Manifestation or that form of the Lord who you worship. And even if you happen to be influenced by atheistic principles, even if you have no clear picture of the Lord, then you can address that unknown, this great unknown, which is there, this higher force that is there. And yesterday we spoke about this manifestation of God for those who are not very devotional, is time, that force of time, which inexplicably moves everything forward in our life, which makes young men chubby and appear well nourished, that makes beautiful ladies sport gray hair so that they have to use henna for 1 year, then it doesn't work any longer. I'm trying to speak relevant New York English. We all are moved by, for those who have no clear picture of God, it's the time, the eternal Kala, which moves. By those who are more clear, they can see behind Kala the beautiful smile of the Lord. So wherever you are, there are three steps which we will do together. This, by the way, is Gaur Krishna. I am the member of his bhajan group. We are called the Gaur Krishna Bhajan band. Soon we will be very famous. At the moment we are not. I once, you know, when we came to the Serbian passport control, the people asked, who are you? And I said, we are members of the Gaur Krishna Bhajan band. You have not heard about us? They said, no, sorry. You can Google us. A little humor must be there also when you pass a border. So, good, my dear everyone. Are you willing to enter into the Sambandha experience?
Yes.
The connection. Good. We will enter into the divine connection.
No, sorry. Maya. Yeah.
Dear everyone, I request you to sit tall, spine erect. It's all right to sit on chairs if you prefer. And you can also sit with everyone down. Please let us look a little in the room. Who's there? And in the Bhakti Center, I always like to see these walls. Do you know they are real mud walls? Clay walls? They are of sacred dust, most probably. Yes, very, very original. Are you ready? Close your eyes and take a few deep breaths. Kindly bring your awareness to each inhale and each exhale. It's important that you are with your awareness with your breath, because we want to come away from our thousand thoughts and feelings and all that would happen in the day, to enter into a divine experience, really. As you breathe in, tell yourself, slow. And as you breathe out, tell yourself, deep. Appreciate how slowly you enter into a state of calm, or at least more calm. And please don't become surprised. Some of us will cough, because the moment we relax, the muscles' tensions will come out. It's not a problem. It's a, It adds to the experience. And you feel centered and calm, at least more centered and calm. Envision in your mind's eye these simple truths. I'm a small, consciousness, awareness, and Krishna's eternal servant. There's a categoric difference between me and my body and my thoughts that run through my mind. I'm actually a soul. An eternal, blissful spiritual being and part of Krishna. The next truth. Krishna is the infinite conscious being, the Lord of my heart. For so long, I have invested in so many relationships. But now I understand that God is there and my only true friend. I wish to turn to Him. And the third, the world in which I stay for the moment, and in which I write my own small story, is really a house of correction, meant to reform that tendency in me to remain absent in the divine relationship. Yes, I may be following the path of bhakti. There are many things I feel I should do to be more aware of that eternal relationship, that relationship with Krishna. One of them is singing the holy name, fifth devotion. Please join us.
So, the idea is very simple. You
envision yourself being before Krishna and expressing through your singing something that is in your heart, like perhaps the desire to be connected. Please accept me. Show me what I need to know to do. Go forward. Please, sing now.
Hare Krishna.
Likely to be something that comes because of Krishna, a divine revelation. Now, while this is going on, you have to be warned, not warned, alerted perhaps, that your mind will also come and try to bring you away from this space. Oh, why are we doing this? Mechanic chanting is automatic, is good enough for me, as long as the music is good and they serve bits us afterwards. A mind will come. It came to me in the form of this little distraction machine. There was a message on the please give this to me. I thought it's really like the mind, you know. Would you like to drink water that is more hot? The message said, it was typed in by one of you, And I said, no, I want to chant now. So the mind will make different suggestions. But do you know what? You are not the mind. It's not you. It's someone who comes with a program that is very old, ancient. We have all ancient minds with a lot of stored in that, so experiences, thoughts, and so on. But they all belong to this temporary, this world which is here today, and it is gone soon. It does not stand. During the chanting, we want to exit the constant dominion of our Genghis Khan-like mind, who is really controlling, wanting to exert control, and enter into the divine relationship. Good. This is what I wanted to say about the heart of Kirtan. I hope it was useful for you. And it's a very simple, in summary, connect first with yourself, who you are, soul, heart of the Lord, then make the connection to the Lord, and become aware. This is the best thing I can do at the moment. This world is either distracting me, or it gives me the opportunity to turn again to you. No? Then I always tell myself, when my mind gets restless, wait a minute, Satchinanda Swami, you're at the best place. You are at the place which is meant for you. You are now in the presence of the Lord in His holy name. Good. I would like to now request Achyuta Gopi, perhaps you want to arrange how you want to sing. Would you like to be here? I know Achyuta Gopi and Ananta Govinda since long. And I remember we once had a kirtan program at a yoga studio of a person who is now a very dear friend of ours. And there were many yogis, and we had many kirtan leaders. And then Achyuta Gopi and Ananta Govinda and her brother came and sang. And then this yoga teacher, quite well known in the world, said, "They got the soul." He appreciated that there was some devotional feeling. I don't want to create a pressure on you.